Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
I want to actually pray. I had a specific prayer in mind before I started to share, and I wanted to ask us to kind of settle in and let the Lord speak to us. I know you're going to hear my words, but my prayer is that it comes out of a passage of scripture that says, with the testimony of Jesus, there's the spirit of prophecy, or something to that effect. It's basically linking the testimony of Jesus with the prophetic ministry of Jesus. So as we testify of Jesus, there's something prophetic that can happen that goes beyond the words that I'm saying as I testify of Jesus. There's something of the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit where he speaks to each one of us individually and uniquely as someone is testifying of Jesus. I know you guys have experienced this before. I've experienced it on my end where I'll share something and then like four or five people will come up afterwards through the week and they'll be like, man, this is what I heard when you were talking, or this is what you said. And I don't remember saying much of that, but the Lord was bringing it. You know, the Lord was saying it. The Lord was really ministering uniquely to each one of us. And that's my hope and my prayer this morning. So let me pray for that. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to speak. We ask that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying. And so I pray that as I testify of you, Jesus, that the spirit of prophecy would move among us here as a fellowship, and that we would hear what you want us to hear and what we need to hear. So I pray this in your name, Christ. Amen. Good. So I want to string together a few pearls. You know, think about a necklace that has a few pearls on it. And hopefully it won't come off as random string of consciousness, but actually my hope here is that what I bring, it brings us into a place of assurance. I want us to all be assured that Jesus is still building his church on the rock. You remember the revelation that Peter received from the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, on that rock I will build my church. On the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as the church, I want us to be remembering that we are living stones being built together as a dwelling place of God through his Holy Spirit. So Jesus is building his church on this rock. The rock is the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the foundation that we as the church are being built on. That's the ground that establishes us. It's our foundation. And simply put, our foundation is the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And I want to declare that for us as a fellowship. Not that all of you need to be fully reminded of that, but I think sometimes our souls need to be reminded of that. I think we know that to be true in so many life situations that we've experienced. We've known it to be true at times in our life, and sometimes our souls get distracted and we forget. And so let me just make that declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is supreme over all things. And he's our foundation, and we are being built together as living stones, a dwelling place of God by his Holy Spirit. What I love about that is the church is not built with brick and mortar that we enter into on a Sunday morning alone. It is us as the people of God. We are the church. And Jesus is building his church on that rock. And so I've been thinking a lot lately over this past week about, I'll just use the phrase, the post-resurrection Jesus. So think about it, post-resurrection. So the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ. I mean, a couple of weeks ago was Easter, and I haven't gotten over it. Because if you recall, I shared that, you know, the thing that made Easter so special for us was a recognition of who Jesus is, and that the following days can be just as special for us and just as important as we remember and recognize the resurrected Christ. And so that's actually stuck with me. It's kind of fun when you get to practice what you actually preach, right? And so I've been thinking a lot about the post-resurrection Jesus lately. I mean, I still think about the Old Testament. I still like how the story of the dolphin skins points us to the faithfulness of God, right? That comes out of the Old Testament. So I like that. And yet, I'm thinking a lot about the post-resurrection Jesus and how even when he walked on the road to Emmaus with his two disciples, he spoke to them using the ancient text of the law and the prophets to do what? To point them to him, to reveal himself, the post-resurrection Jesus. So I love the Old Testament, as long as it's pointing me to Jesus. And I also love the Gospels. I love all the stories of Jesus's life, his ministry, all of his teachings. They inspire me, and we'll even draw from them this morning. And yet, for me recently, these have all been pointing me towards the life of Jesus after resurrection, after he was raised from the dead. So I can simply say the present day glorified man of Jesus Christ has been in the forefront of my thinking. And that's a big part of what I want to kind of push out here in these little string pearls that I want to bring to you, okay? So this morning, I want us to have a heightened awareness of the supremacy of Jesus as the Son of the living God, still a man, fully God, Jesus who is still building, still architecting. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it. He's still architecting. He's still tending to us with grace and with style. And so here are my string of pearls. And they're all going to come out of John, the book of John. I'm going to start with John 14. Jesus tells Philip this: anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He goes on to say, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. So pearl number one, Jesus is the very complete and very accurate representation of the character and the heart of God the Father. Actually, he's more than a representation. He's in the Father, and the Father is in him. So God is no longer disembodied. I mean, the gift of Jesus to all of humanity is that he takes God out of the abstract place of thought, and he has made God concrete for us. He has done that so that our belief in God would be concrete and not simply an intellectual assent. So the thing about the pearl that I wanted to bring to you is that when we see Jesus, we see the heart and the character of God the Father. Everything about God is represented and on display in the life of Jesus. He's the visible image of the invisible God. And I just have really been meditating on that more and more. And I just wanted to point us towards that reality. So that's the first pearl. The second pearl follows along the narrative of the Gospel of John, and it takes us to John 15. And in John 15, Jesus says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do produce fruit so that they will produce even more fruit. You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you. Remain in me and I in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot produce fruit or be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, they will produce fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like useless branch and is withered. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask whatever it is you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit in your life, then you're really showing yourself as my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Now remain in my love." Now listen, this passage has been a lifeline for me over many decades, and I love it. And there's a lot about this passage that is both encouraging and sometimes, I guess it raises some questions about, you know, what does it mean to be a branch that is considered useless and all that kind of stuff. I just find that it's really key to just remember this abiding place that we have with Jesus. And from that abiding, intimate place that we have with Jesus, our lives will be fruitful. It's just a byproduct. I think the other part about this passage, at least for me this morning, like if I were to take one of the pearls and just slide it onto the string, the first one is that when we see Jesus, we see God, and that Jesus is a direct representation of the character and the heart of God the Father. And now we have a glimpse into who God the Father is here. The Father is the gardener. And some of your translations may have actually said the words husband. Like husbandry is to tend to and to cultivate and to take care of and to, you know, just steward something in a way that brings life. And so God the Father tends the vineyard, and he prunes things that are not producing fruit for the sake of more fruitfulness. And he prunes things that are producing fruit for the sake of more fruitfulness. That's probably more the key right now for me and my thought process here with you all. Because if we go through a season of pruning, then we have this assumption sometimes that it's because there's something wrong. Actually, what the scripture here says is that if you have been fruitful in your life, you will experience more pruning. The pruning here is the intention of the Father to help create for you just that life flow that will produce more and more fruit. Now, by fruit, I'm not saying productivity, as though you're going to earn the heart of the Father by being more productive, because we remember that the fruit of the Spirit has less to do with the quantifiable and more to do with the qualifiable attributes of who God is and who Jesus is and the Holy Spirit active and living in our life. Like the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, those sorts of things. So if we've experienced a measure of fruitfulness in those areas of our life, but there are yet things in our life that are kind of getting in the way of us being more fruitful in those ways, then you have to know that the Father is going to prune those things. And so Pearl number two, the father is the gardener. And it kind of sounds like the season that we're in right now. I mean, like all the pruning that we've been experiencing, I mean, globally, but even us as people, I mean, we're limited. There's been a limitation put on us, and that feels like a pruning of sorts. And I would say that's good news for some of us. You know, and we're kind of in this weird place, right? I mean, it's a weird overall experience that we're all having together. And I don't think this world has ever reacted to something so dramatically as what we're experiencing right now. And we're all trying to make sense of it. And it's okay to feel out of sorts, to feel like you're out of control. That's actually a very normal, I think a very appropriate sense that we've had. And if you're anything like me, especially as a guy, I don't know how it is as much for ladies, but I know for me as a man, like anytime I feel out of control, that will typically manifest itself in anger. And it's not always pointed in the right direction, right? But there's this internal sense of things are out of control, and an angst or kind of a high energy try to solve the problem or address an issue that can often quickly translate into anger. And so we're all just trying to make sense of it all here. And I think it's perfectly normal to try and figure out what's really going on. But I do have a caution for us here. I think it's, here's my caution. I think it's pretty convenient and it's an easy deflection. I think it's an easy deflection for us to blame something external. If we feel like we're out of control, we feel like there's this stuff going on in our life. Remember, if the father's doing some pruning, then we have a choice in how we're going to react to that. I mean, I think some people yield to the pruning and some people fight it. And I think one of the ways that we fight it in a more subtle way is to actually deflect blame on, let's say, for example, in our current situation, blame the media, blame the government, whatever. You know, the blame game has been active since what? The first sin. I mean, this woman that you gave me, she made all this stuff happen. I mean, blaming your spouse, blaming other people. So this thing that we're talking about here, it's not to say that there are not things outside of ourselves that are oppressive. I'm not saying that we live in that kind of denial, but I am saying that in light of this encouragement that the Father is a gardener and he's willing to prune things, and that feels like a lot of inconvenience for us right now. And it feels like things are out of our control right now in that way. It would be easy for us to be distracted and look at things externally as the blame of that. And I think if we're not careful, if we do that, then we run the risk of missing some main points here that God might be trying to make. So again, I'm not saying that there aren't things outside of us that are oppressive. I'm not saying that there aren't control freaks in government. I'm not saying that data may be manipulated for the sake of monetary gain. But since when, honestly, since when does the evil intent of world systems surprise us? Like, this has been active forever. Right? So since when are we surprised all of a sudden that there's oppressive spirits, you know, that are trying to wound people, steal, kill, and destroy? Perhaps trying to find something outside of ourselves to blame, though, it might force us in some ways, indirect, to miss what God is doing when he's pruning things out of our lives that need to be pruned. So I just don't want us to be so thoroughly distracted that we lose sight of the much larger and much more intimate story that we're in with God. Okay? I guess I would ask the question, what is the Spirit of Christ saying to your heart in this season? I mean, if the pearl number one is Jesus is the very complete and very accurate representation of the character and the heart of God the Father, and pearl number two is that God the Father is a gardener and he tends the vineyard, then I want us to start looking now and let's explore the pearl number three. And we're going to stay in John, and I'm going to move to chapter 20, in particular, verses 11 through 16. This came to me actually yesterday. It was pretty interesting. I was having a conversation with my daughter, Brianna. And for some of you who know, Brianna is in Ireland, and she's doing a discipleship training school with a mission organization, Youth with a Mission, YWAM. And she's going to send an update here soon for some of you who have been praying for her and supporting her. I'll just give you this quick snapshot. All across the world, all of the YWAM DTSs that are active right now are going to do their lecture phase, and then that's it. They're not going to go out on outreach, which, you know, she's going to actually, her heart right now, she's praying for what's next for her, but in her heart, she'd like to stay in Ireland, and she'd like to see what opportunities present themselves there in Ireland for her to either serve on the mission base or serve another church or some organization or just explore, do something. So she's waiting to hear what the Father has. But she brought this idea to me and Tiffany yesterday when we were on the phone with her. And so it just, when she said this, when I talk about pearl number three, it just kind of exploded into my heart. And it took up like, it took full occupancy of my thoughts since then. And so I want to just share some thoughts with you on this. But before we go into the specifics of that, let me read John chapter 20, verses 11 through 16. And it's going to tie into the third pearl here. John 20, 11. Mary was standing outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting, one at the head and the other one at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she did not recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Teacher." I love how the first impression that Jesus makes after his resurrection is that of a gardener. I don't believe that it's written here by chance. If you recall pearl number one, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Pearl number two, the Father is the gardener and he produces fruitfulness. Pearl number three, Jesus has been raised to life to reestablish and cultivate what was lost in the first garden. The first garden, the Garden of Eden. You remember from Genesis 2? This is Genesis 2. The Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It goes on to say, now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from it, it was divided and became four different rivers. And then the Lord took the man and he put him in the garden to cultivate it and to keep it. I have a thought here before we go back into our breakout group with a prompt. And my thought is this. The kingdom of God is the garden. The kingdom of God is the garden. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, now we're thinking about post-resurrection Jesus here, right? And he's recognized, or mistaken at least, but I think the persona that he presented himself as was this idea that he's a gardener kind of fascinates me. Because if you read out of Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, Jesus appeared to his apostles from time to time, and to all the disciples and all the people there, and he would appear to them from time to time, and he would prove to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and then he talked to them about the kingdom of God. So as a gardener who is reestablishing and cultivating God's original intent, isn't it fascinating that he would spend 40 days with these folks after he's raised from the dead, and he would speak of nothing, to my knowledge, other than things related to the kingdom of God? He was reestablishing the garden. And we're a part of that garden. And I think that this pruning and this fruitfulness and this sense of growth and this place where abundance comes and this place of like God's provision through the river of life, all of that stuff has been released to us through Jesus. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and the Father is a gardener, and he tends to his garden. And now I, as the risen Christ, who has been placed in the seat of authority over all things created, seen and unseen, I am the gardener, and I'm tending to the garden on the earth, and it's a kingdom that brings life, and you're a part of it. You are a part of it. We're a part of it, church. And so this is part of what I wanted to talk about, because the time that Jesus spent with his followers after his resurrection was all about setting a trajectory for the church that he is building. And he is continuing to build on the firm foundation that he is the risen Christ. He is the Son of the living God, and he is supreme. And so just as he placed Adam and Eve in the garden to cultivate it, I think he's also placed you and I on the earth in such a time as this so that we could seek first, so that we could lay hold of, and so that we could be fruitful in the kingdom of God as it advances. And so this is part of the second breakout group that I'm going to send you off into. And it has a very simple question. The question that I would like you guys to talk about has to do with, what do you see Jesus cultivating in your life? What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? It can be about you specifically. Maybe there's a season that you're in right now where the Lord is really cultivating something. Maybe it's a difficult season where you feel like you're being pruned. Maybe it's more broad to like, What do you see him doing here in our fellowship? But I want it to try to stay at least within our zip code. Okay? So let's not talk too globally. Let's not talk too, you know, broad stroke related to what he's doing across the nation. I think that what he is doing across the nation is going to be reflected and manifested in our community. I think that what God is doing here is going to be reflective of what he's doing elsewhere. So I want us to try to focus in a little tighter on, what do you see Jesus cultivating in your life? So no doubt there was a lot of really great stuff that was just shared. I went over and was with Tiffany's group, and just a lot of great stuff being shared there. Just wanted to thank you all for letting us kind of explore that way of having this breakout sessions with each other. I think part of that is going to help us set a tone for what's happening kind of as we move from the stay-at-home order, you know, to a safer-at-home modality. I think we're going to find ourselves with opportunities to get into smaller groups together, at least initially. I think we're going to also meet like this on Zoom and have opportunities for us to be together and see each other's face and have some worship and encouragement together on Sunday mornings. So as we kind of begin to move from stay at home to safer at home in the next couple of weeks, I want us to kind of circle back around to this trajectory that I was talking about Jesus establishing for the first generation church as he spent 40 days with them after he was raised from the dead. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. I think that that first generation church is a seedbed for the garden that we find ourselves in and we're a part of now, all these years later, all these centuries later. I think there are certain aspects of what Jesus was reestablishing when he came on the scene after his resurrection as a gardener, as it were, you know, if we take that idea and we kind of run with it a little bit, there were some things that were good that the Lord was reestablishing. And I think that there's some things that if we were allowing ourselves to yield to the pruning of the gardener, I think it can be helpful for us to become more fruitful than ever before as a church. And I think if there's one good thing that the Lord is reestablishing for us as a church, I think it's the power and the beauty of the garden being cultivated in our own homes. That the kingdom of God is really being established in our homes. I think that the theme of intimacy with the Lord and intimacy with other people has really been kind of highlighted for a lot of us. And so I want to bless each of your homes to be a fruitful garden. Diane, I think about your new home that you're going to be moving into, and I just want to bless just every one of our homes to be fruitful gardens. And I want to bless the idea that the river of life that flows from the throne of grace, with all of its healing and all of its protection and all of its provision, that it would bring the reality of King Jesus into your life and into your home in more concrete and more, I guess, just realized ways, you know, that really make a difference for you. And so I have a thought here, kind of in closing, kind of a closing thought. And it's the idea that Mary did not recognize Jesus. Mary did not recognize Jesus until he said her name. She was looking at the empty tomb. She was assuming that someone had stolen his body. She didn't even really seem to react very much to the angelic beings who were talking to her. I think in her loss and in her grief and in her sense of disorientation, she was so focused on what was right in front of her that it wasn't until Jesus spoke into her identity that her eyes were open to a kingdom reality. Like she was able to see what was right, you know, right there, like Jesus is right there. And she clung to him. As Jesus speaks into our identity, kind of as we close here, I'm going to ask you to get as undistracted as possible right now. I know that's hard for a lot of us in our homes. But I just want to ask Jesus as we position ourselves to receive right now, as we let ourselves yield to the cultivation of the gardener in our lives, as we enter into the secret garden that you have with him in the interior place of your own heart, I just want to ask you, as undistracted as you can be, to just let yourself enter into that space with him now. And I want to ask Jesus, the resurrected Son of the living God, to speak into your identity and to call you by name. Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Yield to you as the one who husbands, tends to, and cultivates our lives, our families, our community. And we thank you, Lord, that you can be trusted. So Jesus, speak. Let us hear your voice. Speak into our identity right now and throughout this week. So grateful for your kindness. So grateful that you have come to reestablish what was broken, what was relinquished as the result of sin and brokenness, God. And I pray that as we take this story and this analogy and this reality that your kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven is a garden, I pray that we would not be tempted to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that we would partake of the tree of life. And so, Jesus, thank you for each of my friends here. Thank you for all that you're doing in their lives. Lord, we look forward to reunions. We look forward to seeing each other. We look forward to hearing each other's voices. We look forward to experiencing your presence in the other more closely. Until then, Lord, I just ask that you would sustain us. Ask that you would continue to knit hearts together. Ask that you would inspire us to do kind things for other people. I ask that you would help us be your light in a dark world. And I ask for the fruit of your Holy Spirit to be flourishing in each one of our lives and each one of our homes. And I pray this in your strong name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org. And be sure to like our Facebook page.